Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
In the
52 Olympics. Thanks to William Rudolph and Elise Coachman. Black women, athletes slash spokesmen. Flo Jones and Jackie Joyner was terrific in track and field. The best black women that ever did it.
BlackAthlete.com. 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 Looking for the definitive source for information? BlackAthlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq, football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between, we focus on all the major players and stories, daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out BlackAthlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
Welcome, welcome to TLZ. I'm getting great. And that was old school. Old school. And think about Rowan Rogers back in the day of the early Black Athletes. Fellow Americans, this country is in turmoil. This country is in a crisis. I mean, doesn't even know it. We had a president of the United States who broke the law and knew he was doing it. And we had presidents before the same thing. But this president tried to overthrow the government. It can't be happening. The FBI raided the Mar-a-Lago house last week. And Trevor Noah, trying to make it funny. But this is really troubling. It really is.
Oh my God! The FBI raided Donald Trump's house in Mar-a-Lago. The FBI people raided a former president's house. This is huge! This is bigger than when the feds investigated Bill Clinton for doing mouth stuff with that saxophone. And by the way, this raid, just so you know, has nothing to do with January 6th or tax fraud or giving the White House plumber PTSD. No, apparently this investigation is about Trump taking classified documents from the White House. And honestly, you know, I'm amazed that Trump has time for all of this crime. Like at any moment, Trump's got a crime that he's covering up, he's got a crime that he's doing now, he's got a crime that he's prepping for the future. He's like the Steve Harvey, but of crimes, you know? Every day I'm like, does he have the same hours in the day as me? He's so much done. Now, if you remember, earlier this year, the feds already had to go down to Mar-a-Lago and take back 15 boxes of documents that Trump wasn't supposed to have. But apparently, they think there's more hidden on the property. Right? And I believe that. I believe that, too. I mean, like, Trump's not going to keep records in a filing cabinet like a normal person. This is the same dude who buried his ex-wife on a golf course. I mean, think about that. And yes, it is totally unprecedented for the FBI to raid the home of a former president. That is true. That has never happened in American history. But don't forget, Donald Trump has also never happened in American history. is an anomaly with this man. I mean, like, why do you think a book from one of his staffers comes out every single week? Because every single person he interacts with is like, yo, have I got a f***ing story for you? And wouldn't it be weird if this is the thing that takes Trump down? We thought it would be something like conspiracy or bribery or blackmail, but no, Trump's got busted for taking work home with him. What a nerd. Now, obviously, President Trump recognizes the gravity of the situation, which is why he has refrained from comments while the legal process is like, nah, I'm joking with you, come on. The guy released a statement immediately. He read, these are dark times for our nation. As my beautiful home, Mar-a-Lago, in Palm Beach, Florida, is currently under siege, raided and occupied by a large group of FBI agents. They even broke into my safe. What's the difference between this and Watergate? What's the difference? I love that even while he's complaining, he slips in that the thing is beautiful. How could they do this to my beautiful home? Also, it is completely different from Watergate, all right? For one thing, the guys breaking into Watergate didn't need to clean old ketchup stains off the documents. But the other big thing, the other big difference, is that the raid was legal. Right, was approved by a federal judge, approved by the head of the FBI, who, by the way, was appointed by Donald Trump himself. He got rid of like 17 other heads of the FBI because they didn't want to be friends with Donald Trump. So now, the big mystery is, what did the FBI find? Well, according to Donald Trump's third favorite son, the only thing the FBI took was his heart. What could they possibly think existed inside of Mar-a-Lago in a box that was taken from the White House that was so damaging that the FBI director and the Attorney General of the United States would have to raid a former president's residence and grab everything out of there?
I don't know. They'll probably find a note from me telling him how proud I am of him and what a great job he was doing as president. They might find some pictures of my kids, maybe some nice, you know, headlines, maybe a nice note from you, Sean.
Oh, Eric. You silly, silly man. Did Daddy tell you that's where your letters to him go? Yeah. Hidden away somewhere safe? They're just too important to show anybody or acknowledge in any way, Eric. That's why I locked them up right next to my wedding ring. That's what I do. Now, aside from the boxes that they took, the FBI also looked inside Trump's safe, which is very dramatic. Like, because apparently they had to break into it, right? So now you're like, how do they do it? Did they blow it open, or did they just correctly guess the code was 6969? Honestly, I'd be surprised. I would actually be surprised if they found White House documents in Trump's safe. Because a safe is where you keep your most prized possessions. Yeah. In my head, searching through Trump's safe would probably go a lot more like this. All right, guys, let's see what we have in here. All right, my God, the entire safe is just filled with McRib after McRib. This is stacked on top of each other. I don't even understand. It's an unventilated safe. Who would do this? Wait, hold on. There's a secret panel in the bottom. I think we found it. We just found, nope, another McRib, boys, another McRib. Now, you might be wondering, isn't this an extremely explosive situation for the United States? Yes, it is. It is. You don't want to let a former president get away with crimes, right? Because nobody in America is above the law, right? Except corporations and rich people and police and celebrities sometimes. But aside from them, nobody is above the law. But at the same time, even the perception that the Justice Department is being used to go after your political opponents, that could erode people's trust in governments. So it's a really tricky situation. And the only thing we can do is wait and see how the investigation unfolds. Or if you're Fox News, you can just freak out right now.
This is an abomination.
This is Gestapo crap.
It's probably the worst day in the history of the FBI.
This is a wake-up call. for those in Congress to be able to use the tools at their disposal to defund the FBI, dismantle the FBI into a thousand bits.
Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene simply tweeting, defund the FBI.
If this is what they're able to do to the former president of the United States, think about what they could do to you, to anybody in America. The real target of this investigation isn't Trump. The real target of this investigation is you.
Do we have a dual justice system in America? Is there equal justice under the law?
I am deathly afraid for Donald Trump. I would not put assassination behind these people.
We're entering basically a Venezuelan, Zimbabwean, East German-style banana republic in which the law doesn't matter.
This is some third world bullshit right here.
Let me say it again. Third world bullshit.
All right. First of all, as someone from the third world, maybe leave us out of your shit for once, huh? How about that? Every time Americans want to call something in America that's corrupt, all of a sudden they're like, oh, this is third world bullshit. My man,
at what point do you realize that it's happening here? It's you.
It's you. In other countries, when it's still happening in other countries. In fact, when something happens in the actual third world, yeah, these days America's gotten so bad, people in Africa are like, are you kidding me? This is just like America. Ah, no. This is turning into America. What are we doing here? What are we doing? But I do get what Super Karen is saying. If the FBI is going to go after Trump for stealing classified documents from the White House, then what's to stop them from going after you when you steal classified documents from the White House? Is that the country we want to live in where anyone can be investigated just for the crime of doing crimes? I don't think so. And you know,
what all of this just shows you, all of this, like, he's got a moment to save us. How amazing. How quickly MAGA world turns on law enforcement and America as a whole, whenever it suits them, whenever things go against them, huh? All of a sudden, Marjorie Taylor Greene posting a photo of an upside down American flag after this raid happened. Yeah, well, I thought respecting the flag was the most important thing in the world. Colin Kaepernick is probably kneeling in his grave right now. All of these people complaining. What happened to, if you don't like what's happening in America, why don't you just leave? What happened to that, huh? And all of these years, what has it been, 2 years now, of people saying defund the police is like the N-word for law enforcement. Yeah. Yes, but let the FBI take two boxes from Mar-a-Lago, and all of a sudden these same people are like, take that thin blue line and shove it up your ass. Defund the FBI. Defund the cops. Same people. Where's law enforcement now? You know what we need to start for conservatives? We need to start a... like a game show called Who's Woke Now? That's what we should call it. Yeah. It's like bringing our first contestant is Sean Hannity, who says now there are two justice systems in America. It's not fair. Oh, who's woke now, Sean? You just won yourself an Afro pick. Congratulations, brother.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Very interesting that. The conservatives want to defund the FBI now. And they're the same ones that criticize African Americans and cities across the country wanting to defund the police. Now it's okay. Now it's alright. Really? There was a song about 2 years ago called Commander-in-Chief. That lady has got death threats, nasty phone calls, letters. That's okay. That's okay. Stop playing games, okay? Donald J. Trump broke the law, period. Donald J. Trump should be in jail. Oh my. I was a radio broadcaster. seriously, this has got to stop. Because you have one group of morality issues. If it doesn't go your way, you change your tune. This is what the Republican Party has done. I'm glad the FBI did what it did. It's about time. It might take another year, 2 years to get this man, but the party's over. And the question is, all Republicans, right, center, Republicans, had to make a choice. Do they continue to stand with this move? Or do they become independent? The jury's out so far. Some primaries have gone in some critical dates. And so far, it's 50-50. 50-50. We will see in November when they go up against Democrats. And what y'all need to look at is Georgia, New York, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Arizona. Those are the states that you have to watch. Those are the states that is in Trump's strongholds. If he wins those states, the Trump agenda will continue. If he loses those states, the Republican Party has to change its course. Down to them. Only time will tell. I'm just saying. We have a hero I call her heroine because of what she has said, what she has done. Liz Cheney, I salute you. Liz Cheney, you are a real American. Liz Cheney, I would vote for you if I could. Because you stand for what America stands for. You may be Republican, but you have the right idea. So Liz Cheney, I salute you. And I wish you well in your campaign in Wyoming.
As Election Day nears, I want to talk to citizens across our great state and all across our country. America cannot remain free if we abandon the truth. The lie that the 2020 presidential election was stolen is insidious. It preys on those who love their country. It is a door Donald Trump opened to manipulate Americans to abandon their principles, to sacrifice their freedom, to justify violence, to ignore the rulings of our courts and the rule of law. This is Donald Trump's legacy, but it cannot be the future of our nation. History has shown us over and over again how these types of poisonous lies destroy free nations. Like many candidates across this country, my opponents in Wyoming have said that the 2020 election was rigged and stolen. No one who understands our nation's laws, no one with an honest, honorable, genuine commitment to our Constitution would say that. It is a cancer that threatens our great republic. If we do not condemn these lies, if we do not hold those responsible to account, we will be excusing this conduct, and it will become a feature of all elections. America will never be the same. Nothing in our public life is more important than the preservation of the miracle given to us by God and our founding fathers. Nothing. Here's my pledge to you. I will work every day to ensure that our exceptional nation long endures. My children and your children must grow up in an America where we have honorable and peaceful transitions of power, not violent confrontations, intimidation, and thuggery, where we are governed by laws and not by men, where we are led by people who love this country more than themselves. No matter how long we must fight, this is a battle we will win. Millions of Americans across our nation, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, stand united in the cause of freedom. We are stronger, more dedicated, and more determined than those trying to destroy our republic. This is our great task, and we will prevail. I hope you will join me in this fight. I'm Liz Cheney, and I approve this message.
Okay, great. I approve of Liz Cheney's message. This is where we are. I thought I'd never see it. I thought I would never see the day like this happens. But here we are. It's up to you, Republicans. Are you American? Or are you for Trump? That's what it comes down to. Alright, we take a break.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, are you ready for some football? You ain't ready for no football. You ain't ready for the Mopin Raider. It's the invasion of the Mopin Raider. Are you ready for some football?
Come, baby, just win, baby. Feel the storm of the cold autumn wind, baby. It's the Oakland Raiders, get your mouthpiece. You in the black hole with the black beast. This ain't black gold, this is black silver. Commitment to excellence, we deliver. And we'll play past regulation. It's the invasion of the Raider Nation.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, are you ready for the football?
Raider Nation is united. When they see them pirates, fans get excited. The opposition get quiet. When I hit the field with my eye patch and my shield, the silver and black will attack, will attack.
Are you ready for some football?
The silver and black will attack,
will attack.
Are you ready for some football?
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go.
Raider Nation. Football is back as we resume the National Football League preseason that night. Before the game in Cleveland, Deshaun Watson made a press conference and he stated about he apologized women that have been impacted by his actions. The Browns are on to win the game 24-13. Uneventful game. And folks, Deshaun Jackson has been out of playing game for 555 days. He's already had a year suspension. And now the NFL want more. What they want from Deshaun Jackson is what they wanted from Michael Vick years ago. Now, Deshaun Jackson had to come crawling to his knees, begging and bleeding, like Michael Vick did. Now, the reason why I had Michael Vick back in is because he served time. They want Deshaun Watson to serve time. That's why this boy cannot get back in the NFL. That's what this is all about. Humbling Watson. That's what this is about. Don't get twisted. That's the real case. Moving on. Another black quarterback, Murray, did not play for the Arizona Cardinals, and the Cardinals win 33 over the Cincinnati Bengals. And Joe Burrow did not play either. The New York Jets may be looking for a new quarterback as Wilson goes down in the first quarter with a serious knee injury. But the New York Jets beat the Philadelphia Eagles 24-21. And that made the Jimmy G story even more interesting now. Where is Jimmy G going? Is he going to New York, the Jets? Is he going to Cleveland for the Browns? Or is he going to Seattle for the Seattle Seahawks? Here's Gary Gray intuitions here. 6 years ago, actually 7 years ago now, Colin Kaepernick had an injury. He waited till April to get the injury done. That was a business decision. Jimmy G had an injury. He waited till March to get his fix. That was a business decision. Here's the difference. Colin Kaepernick was going everything under the sun, vitriol every week. Jimmy G is almost getting praised for his masterful business genius. America got stopped this nonsense. Jimmy G did exactly what Colin Kaepernick did 6 years ago. Jimmy G will play this year. Colin Kaepernick got blackballed. That's the difference. Speaking of San Francisco, all three quarterbacks played for the San Francisco 49ers last night. Trey Lance took control of the game early as they defeated the Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay Packers 28-21 with a strong 49er second half as the backups played well. the Detroit Lions. 27-23. Here we go again. And the Lions start their preseason 0-2. Baseball, bad night for the Big Apple. As the Iowa Phillies took extra innings to beat the Mets 2-1 in 10 innings, stopping the Mets 9-game winning streak in New York. Meanwhile, the Phillies have won 50-17 and only gained 3 games on the Mets. The Red Sox take down the Yankees was, one of the utilities, great, busy matchup. I can hear the moans from the Big Apple City right now. The Cardinals take the lead in the National Central with 3-0 over Milwaukee on Tuesday homers. WNBA last night, all the playoff teams won last night. Seattle beat Minnesota, 96-69. Washington slipped by Indiana, 82-70. New York Liberty with Arnescu saved the night of the city with a 80-70 victory over the Atlanta Dream. The Bay Mercury keep up alive with an 86-34 victory over Dallas, and the playoffs start Tuesday night. Big game tomorrow afternoon, the Seattle Storm, the Las Vegas Aces to end the season. WTA quarters in Canada. Nick Kyrgios upset by Urquhart in 3 sets in Montreal. On the women's side in Toronto, Muskova defeats Zing, and Pagula beats Bessazia Penultima in Toronto. PGA after the third round. Spahn leads Draga in third round at Tennessee for the FedEx. And they have to deal with the Loop Tour because they have to make a decision. These guys cannot play the PGA if they're going to the Loop Tour. LPGA. Two Americans lead the ISBS on the World Cup after 3 rounds. Amanda Dockery and Lauren Kogan went in the lead going into the 4th round. There are no Indy Formula 1 will start in 2 weeks. Restart the season in 2 weeks. The Formula 1 racing season. We'll take a break, come back. Our news of the week. After we come back after the message. But first, I'm going to listen to my man on the raid of Donald Trump.
And I will sit here and do a further happy dance, because pull up the breaking news banner. Oh, pull up the breaking news banner, y'all. Guess what? Just a few moments ago, punk-ass Donald Trump released a long statement, y'all. In his long statement, he was whining and complaining. Why? Because Donald Trump, y'all, had some visitors today. Oh, they were not the good visitors. Ooh, go ahead and show it. Look at the visitors he had there in Mar-a-Lago. The FBI searches Mar-a-Lago, Trump says. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. They even broke into my safe, the former president says. And that's something. Oh, that little punk, he's so mad. He upset. He upset. The FBI said, hey, player, what's going on? Now, I told y'all, remember, they took those top secret documents took the documents the crib. Remember those papers in the Library of Congress? They also had something to say about this. Now, look, the FBI has not stated what the raid was about, but we do know there's a raid because somebody ain't happy. Somebody got an attitude. Somebody is really, really upset with what went down. So, y'all, he done released a statement. He's upset. I'm trying to find a statement because, you know, I'm just going to revel. Oh, here it is right here. Oh, let me go ahead and blow this up. Let me just go ahead and blow this up.
Hey, see, this is the thing about this. Donald J. Trump was talking to Vladimir Putin. And if he has documents in his house, he can give them to Vladimir Putin. Documents of our allies, France, Germany, England, and Canada. When he goes to visit his buddy Vladimir, in the air, I can get some papers I got. I can get some security stuff I got. And this is what you don't hear. You don't hear it on any of the news agency, do you? You don't hear NBC say that. You don't hear MSNBC say that. You don't hear CNN say that. You definitely don't want to hear Fox. That is a real thing that can happen. He could have sent those documents over to Russia, and we never would know about it. See, Americans, they do not think. I've been thinking about this for a week and a half. Okay? This rule could give sensitive information to Russia. And we never would know about it. We got Michael's house. Michael, you were thinking, what's up,
yes,
man?
Sir. What's up, brother? I heard what your audio just kicked off, and you just left the question hanging in the air. Did he give stuff already to Putin?
I say yes. Thank you.
I say yes. And not only did he give stuff to Putin, he gave stuff to that Mussolini wannabe over in Hungary, who was just here with the CPOP convention. He gave stuff to him too. Everybody knows he's a wannabe. Donald Trump is not a gangster. He is a thug.
My question is this. What is CNN, NBC, CBS, and definitely Fox? What are they doing?
They don't care. They're intermediaries in all of this. See, they'll operate with whoever's on the winning side. And after a while, if stuff gets too hot, you'll feel the temperature turn up. You know, the only reason must satisfy Negroes by cable, MSNBC, is on this. The only reason they're as hot and heavy on this as they are is because they're getting ratings out of it. You know, people are watching because they want to see what page gets turned next. But all those pages are revealed and obvious. Yeah, you should charge him. Yeah, he should never run for office again. If not under these circumstances, you're just wasting our time. And our time has been wasted for a long time here, because why should you wait to have people go in and do stuff at the level they've done without consequence?
You know, you're Michael, still talking about that. When we were saying, defund the police, man. Republican, right? Oh no, you can't do that. You can't defund the police. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When the FBI raided those house, now it's defund the FBI.
Yep. Not just the FBI.
The police force.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very interesting how that episode changed.
Like I said, it all depends on whose side's on what. You know, because now they're also saying, you're weaponizing the Department of Justice. No, you're not. They already had a hammer to begin with. It's just a matter of whose hand has the hammer. And because Biden has his hand on it, you know, Trump's feeling it. You know, you can't get over the fact that no matter what they say or do now, these things will always linger in his mind.
Michael, when you become president of the United States, and this is why I can't get people to understand this. When you become president of the United States, you have rules given to you. You can do A, B, C, D, etc. In these rules, there is rules that you cannot take sensitive material with you when you can't take it.
Yeah, well, that's
this
what
moron,
they call it.
This moron took boxes of stuff.
Don't call him a moron, because he thought he was doing exactly what an entitled white person was entitled to do. He just did exactly what he thought, oh, this is mine. You know, now go back to the second impeached president, Richard Nixon. Can you imagine what Nixon would have did if he had had all this stuff with the Russians, and there was no reason to believe that he couldn't have, because they were close to Gorbachev's ascension and Glasnost, where they would have been working with the Russians. Everything would have been tickety-boo, and nobody would have known. But we already know this is an irritable climate with Putin. We already know that Trump did something while he was over there. I don't know if he got caught with a couple of females who pissed on him. All I'm saying is that he's put himself in a position where he is most definitely vulnerable. And Putin, he is the difference between Putin and Trump. Trump is a thug. He can flaunt and push his chest out and force people with stuff he did, like in the church, where he got those guys with no names on your uniforms, you know, thumping around people, and then he's holding the Bible up like he was Oliver Cromwell. Well, Putin's a gangster. And gangsters are more dangerous than thugs, because
yes, sir.
Gangsters don't say nothing. They just go ahead and execute what's going down. A thug will make noise, but a gangster will do the damage. Putin's a gangster. And that's why Trump has got a hard on for him. He wants to be Putin when he grows up.
Well, let me say this. this has got to go to a close. It's got to go to a close because Republican Party has got to make a decision. And God bless them, because if they don't make the right decision, they can be a dead party. Here's what I'm talking about here. There are 34 seats up for election this year.
Mm-hmm.
And in 92 years, there'll be 300 and whatever my number of seats by 2024.
Mm-hmm.
If this Trump FBI Mar-a-Lago, whatever you want to call it, continues.
Right.
And these people running for office, they could be dead man walking. Because the majority of Americans had enough of this. Majority of Americans say, okay, let's move on, let's change course. Republican Party has a choice to do this. They can say, okay, we're done with this, or it can continue being the party of the party of Trump. And I believe what Liz Cheney did the past 3 months,
yep,
smacked him upside the head.
They need to be more than smacked upside the head. You got to wonder about the thought process of somebody, say in Pennsylvania, right next door to me, where some guy's going to be running for governor, and he's telling everybody straight up that he believes that the election didn't happen. He believes the election was bogus and that Biden did not win. Now, he's not the problem. His problem, or rather the problem, are the dumb fucks who also agree with him. Enough of them voted for him to make it to the primary. How many more dumb fucks out there that are going to vote for him for governor? And if he gets elected, then what do? You already know that the state of Pennsylvania is compromised. Likewise, the state of Arizona, for the same reasons that crazy broad that's out there. Yep, and Michigan. I mean, remember, they tried to kidnap an official in Michigan.
They tried to kidnap a governor of the state of... What are you, crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. That just shows you how far they've gotten. And what they'll do, because they truly believe nothing will happen to them. Like that white kid who killed those people in Illinois.
Yeah.
He pleaded not guilty. Now they saw
and
him
killed. And that fool is going to grad school. Are you serious?
He killed seven people. And he pleaded not guilty. And somebody else obviously had the gun. Somebody else obviously wasn't shot by those bullets. It wasn't him. It wasn't me, like the old song. And he pleads not guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael, one last note. We're going to get off of this. I'm tired of him.
Yes, sir.
I'm tired of Trump right now because this is getting to be very old. Liz Cheney,
mm-hmm,
running for her seat in Wyoming.
Yep.
Now, I believe that this is going to be the bellwether of the party. If Liz Cheney loses by a small margin, that means the Trump episode is coming to a close.
Right.
If Liz Cheney wins by a large margin, I mean, Trump has no influence at all.
That would be a major move.
If Liz Cheney loses by a lot, we got trouble with it.
No, just remind you just what happened as with COVID. You don't realize just how many stupid fucking people there are until you see evidence of it. Now, as far as Cheney is concerned, don't cry for her, Argentina, because she's going to land on her feet. No matter what happens in Wyoming, I think Biden will snatch her up and appoint her to something. So I think Cheney will stick around. You know, she's a constitutionalist, so she won't switch parties. She won't switch parties. I don't think her father will allow her to do that because he was such a Dick Dastardly himself. But she will provide. She will be useful to Biden, and Biden will appoint her to something, and that discussion will be out the window.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to football. Last night was the first real day of football.
Yay!
And one thing that I noticed, and by the way, the New York Jets lost their starting quarterback.
Yes.
Michael, I wanted to ask you this question a long time. Did it happen? Jimmy G was mentioned for the job in New York. Jimmy G had been mentioned for the job in Seattle. Jimmy G had been mentioned for the job in Cleveland.
Yeah.
All right, this is my bone with the NFL and the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
My bone is this. Jimmy G is doing exactly what Colin Kaepernick did 7 years ago. But Colin Kaepernick got scalded by everybody in the business.
Right.
Jimmy G is like, he's a good guy. He's doing it best. Are you kidding me? He did the same thing as Colin Kaepernick did. Alright, what are you doing? Black and white.
It's as easy as black and white to see what went down. You know, the porn star, as Tony likes to call him, he'll land on his feet. Kaepernick, he's still scraping. They don't want anything like that. And the Jets, what can we say? The Jets are their own worst enemies. Kid Mike White, if you remember last year, he had one crazy game when he just blew up and the Jets won. It was an upset, obviously, but everybody's like, who is this Kid White?
Yep.
And, of course, next week he didn't play as well. So the whole point is the Jets have this guy sitting in the wings and they think – that helps them to buttress their spot at quarterback. Now, if this other guy got hurt and White has to come in again, he may be able to do this. He may not. But it just tells me that the Jets still have a lot of work to do and that they really haven't changed in their modus operandi. They did have a good draft. At least I think they had a good draft. But the application of whatever they picked up and putting it on the field as an on-field product, I think they got a ways to go.
The Wiseman case, I feel, has gotten ugly because what happened last night, Deshaun Wiseman had a news conference and apologized to ladies in the case. Well, the NFL, I said it earlier in the show today. And the NFL wants Deshaun Watson to be Michael Vick. Everybody's there for this. They want Deshaun Watson to kowtow to the NFL.
They want him to be contrite, yes.
Yes, and this is their end goal.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if this young man does it. I don't think it's coming. Because Watson is a different man than Michael Vick.
Well, Watson was put in, he was put on ice under a different circumstance than Michael Vick.
Yes.
Michael Vick hurt Lassie. So everybody in Obama was up in arms. How dare you? You know, and Michael Vick went to federal prison. You know, Watson's not going to go to federal prison.
No, I think they want him to go to prison. See, this is the thing.
They just said he's not. No, he. What are they going to arrest him for? Solicitation, prostitution.
Question, but that's what they want this boy to be in jail.
They're too late because they really can't do that. Whatever time there was for a criminal case happened a long time ago, and Watson's lawyer, Rusty Hardin, made sure that wasn't going to happen. He basically diffused all these situations into civil situations. And when it comes to civil, it's all about cash money. Nobody's going to go to jail if you lose.
Yeah.
Everybody gets paid if you win. So
yeah.
Watson's not going to jail. You know, they're making much ado about nothing. What the big deal, but the bigger issue is, though, is, as Reggie intimated on our Wednesday show, y'all giving this nigga all this money, and look what he's doing. You know, there's resentment to that, of course. There's always resentment. But Watson put himself in a situation where the only person they really hurt was himself. The six games he does, that's their ideal punishment. But you got to also remember, he's a member of the NFL Players Union. Whatever they take out, out of his game check, you can see it. He's getting punished already. He's being punished financially. If they give him more than six games, then that means he had the six games plus the year where he sat out. Remember, he wasn't injured. You know, he was out. The NFL said you couldn't play. So he already did a year. Now, unless they have information so egregious that they got to nail his butt, that's a wrap. They can't go any further. If they do, the players' union will say, well, why is he here? Why is he in? Why is he suspended? You got to have to go back to binding arbitration. And since binding arbitration has been done, there really are no one. There's no other hurdles for him to climb. Six games was what was decided. Those six games is what it's going to be. Now, if they want Goodell to be the big sheriff, then you got to again say, all right, you let this guy work the show, and his job is to adjudicate. Well, if he's already adjudicated, the issue's dead. You know, don't go back and try to get a second bite of the apple.
Well, it's going to be interesting because he's been out already. I think that's bad. That's barely enough.
Charges against him as well. Now, volume of calls or charges notwithstanding, what can Goodell do? if he gives them more games, it'd be like, there, there, don't do that again, you naughty boy. He really can't do anything. You know, he didn't kill anyone. He didn't commit a crime to such a level where the police can step in and say, oh, you know, we got to put you in jail. The guy apologized. Whether you wanted to say his apology was sincere or not, that's another story. But the whole point is they can't go any further. You know, if you don't let him play, then you got a work issue, and that's when it becomes a union issue. And we already know the NFL's players union doesn't have much teeth. And the invisible man, just like in the Colin Kaepernick case, is nowhere to be seen. I haven't seen Horace Smith.
Where is Waldo? Where is Waldo? Oh,
exactly.
Again,
I haven't seen him in like 8 years. Seriously. Have you seen him? I haven't seen him. Even when Gruden was making jokes about his face, he never turned up.
No.
So what does that tell you? The union or whatever players union, they're operating out of matter. Nobody knows where this guy is.
Where Waldo?
Exactly.
I'm going to Philadelphia and your hometown Phillies.
Yeah.
Pete Rose had the 1980 anniversary team,
Right.
And Pete Rose shows up. It comes out that Pete Rose has been messing with an 18-year-old or underage kid.
Mm-hmm.
And in the interview with the lady, he calls the lady baby. He calls her baby four times.
Yep.
No baby, yes baby. This guy has no sense of anything. And I'm going to tell you, before I read this article, I want Pete Rose to get to the Hall of Fame. After reading alleged sexual assault charges, I don't think he should ever be in the Hall of Fame.
Now, I got to say, first of all, I did not read the article. But I will say, based on what he did on the field, you got to let him in the Hall of Fame. I know he's a perv. I know he had a relationship with underage girls. But there was a sports writer who also was doing dirt in the Philadelphia press box. His name was Bill Common. He was a fat fuck who was sexually molesting somebody. And the Phillies and the Philly newspapers, they all kept it under wraps. They never said anything about the guy until it was rumored that he would possibly retire. And then he sped off into the ozone like nothing had happened. Colin was a punk, and he had been doing this for years. And he did this to this girl, and nobody said boo. And I know sexual molestation is wrong. I know you should be charged for it. Pete should actually do time for some of the shit he did. But if you're not going to nail Common, you're not going to nail Rose. And they were depending on nobody not saying anything for that to happen. And that's exactly what happened. Now, Common is interviewing Rose in the locker room after games. And I saw this fuck when I went to my first Super Bowl. So I knew he had been in the business for a long time. But I also knew he was a bastard. And just being around him and seeing him operate, I was like, Well, I saw proof of it. And I'm not backing Pete Rose in any kind of way in this matter. All I'm saying is Philadelphia had a problem with its media people, and they refused to solve it. And they knew about Common abusing these girls for years. So to speak about Rose, It's like, well, shit, the horse has left the barn door. Why are you trying to lock it now?
And that goes to the history of the Phillies. See, when I was a little tank, I liked the Phillies because it's the only team in the area, right?
Right.
When they traded away Dick Allen,
yep.
I told my dad I will never, ever wear a Philadelphia Red again.
I heard that.
So my dad said, well, I would have joined the Yankees. So I do that either.
Join the evil empire. That's what I told
him. That either. The team up in Fuzzy Meadows goes to New York Mets.
Oh, Lord.
And when Dick Allen got traded to Chicago, Chicago became my American League team. And the New York Mets was the National League team. Once Dick Allen retired, I moved over to the Oakland A's.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I became an A's fan. But they were in Kansas City. They were called the Kansas City A's.
That's
they
right.
They were the only team in the major league that wore white cleats.
That's right.
They had three uniforms in 1988. They had three, the only team in the league with three uniforms.
I remember that. They were baseball's University of Oregon, yes. Mm-hmm.
Three different teams, three different colors. And see, baseball, what Charlie Billy was doing, and see, baseball has lost that spark.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Billy knew what he was doing with the orange
mm-hmm.
ball and the white shoes and the three uniforms and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is stuck in 1940, whatever year you were picked.
Yep.
I saw the game at the Field of Dreams this week.
Yep.
And the uniforms they wore, I was like, oh my goodness. I love the red uniform. I love Chicago Cubs uniform. That's baseball. They don't get it.
Yeah, they don't get it because they're lacking an entrepreneurial spark. Whether you like Charles Finley or hate him, he at least was trying stuff.
Yes, he was.
And I think for the most part, he hit a lot more than he missed. You know, the white shoes, yeah, okay. You know, the different color uniforms, yeah, that's okay too. Because you had to have a product on the field that was worth it. And he did for a while. I mean, the A's were one of the best teams of the 70s.
Yes,
if you can make the argument that they were baseball's best team in the 70s, although the Yankees fixed that in the late part of the decade. But with all that... with all that, they still couldn't get a footing. And if you can't get a footing in an area, especially after you've moved to it, I got to wonder who in the front office was making the moves, who in publicity was making the moves. If I'm not out in the streets, and I don't see people with A's jerseys on or A's merchandise or paraphernalia on, I'm saying to myself, what am I doing wrong? You can go right across the bay and see people with giant jerseys and giant caps and shit like that. But it's like, where are the A's? The A's won in 71, 72, 73, and they were very competitive in 74. That's 4 years.
They won the Western Division 6 years in a row.
Exactly. So you're telling me that there are people out there who didn't follow them or who didn't want to follow them because they sucked? No, we know they didn't suck. So what was the real reason?
I'm in New Jersey. I'm AZ. Okay? Mm-hmm. In New Jersey.
Yeah.
Being AZ. They had the ability to attract people. Look, when the A's came to the Yankee Stadium,
mm-hmm.
it was full. You could get tickets.
Mm-hmm. You talking about in
back
Oakland,
in,
not
in
New York?
By the Blue Days. Blue Moon Harlem, you could get tickets.
That's what I'm saying. They knew in the market, you know, Blue Moon Odom, he was pitching, people would come to the ballpark. That's cool. Yes, we like that. But how or what led to the A's falling off the table?
It's ownership. In 1980, 1981,
right.
Why Oz bought the team.
Mm-hmm.
Why Oz is basis for the team
mm-hmm.
was to build around the community.
Right.
And people loved it. They loved it. From 1980 to 1989, everybody in Oakland knew the A's. They did all community work.
Okay.
Why Oz sold the team to this group of guys now. This group of guys did not care anything about the Oakland community. And was that for the past 3 years? Shown their true colors.
Mm-hmm.
They want a new stadium, but they were Oakland to build it.
Yeah.
Why Oz would never do that. So, I mean, that's a big difference.
Even if they're trying to be different, this still begs the question, how does the fact that the A's are scraping to gain fans and teams like the Giants, well, let's do some math. I believe the A's have more World Series titles than the Giants. I think the Giants have two.
No,
and the A's
equal.
Have two. Oh, they're equal. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But.
A's have seven. No, it's 7-6.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
okay.
7-6.
So the A's. Oh, so essentially the A's have more titles. They've won more games. And. Unfortunately, A's players don't stick around because of management. Now, the A's built up a nice roster of players, and just like with the Evil Empire, we remember our players. You know, you should have Catfish Hunter and Reggie Jackson and Jimmy and Kevin Washington and Blue Moo Odom and Vida Blue and Mike Norris. And Dave Stewart, all those cats should be up on your wall of fame. Just to make an example.
You
get what I'm saying. All right.
Yeah.
If the A's have a Hall of Fame, where is it? If the A's
they established it this year. This is the first year we have the Oakland A's Hall of Fame. See, before they never, Oakland's strange with the Hall of Fame. They don't do that. And this year is the first year where you see them doing that.
What numbers are retired? Did they retire Reggie Jackson's number 9
four,
or Catfish on a 27?
Four numbers are retired. Reggie Jackson.
Right, number 9.
Jackie Henderson.
35.
And two visitors.
Okay. So 127 must be one of them. All right. But you get the idea. I mean, they won all these titles. They supposedly have these players that they have as part of their pantheon of great players. But you don't see it.
No.
You don't see it in the community. I bet right now I could go to Oakland and walk the streets of downtown Oakland, and I wouldn't see folks with A's jerseys or A's paraphernalia on.
San Francisco, last week, they retired Clark, number 22.
Okay. That's Kirk Clark. That's Will Clark.
Will Clark, yeah. And all weekend long, walking up and down the streets of Berkeley, walking up and down the streets of Oakland, I see Will Clark uniforms.
Okay.
Now, when Will Clark was playing, you never saw that.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying, you know. So if you look at support in terms of memorabilia or merchandise, I would get the impression that the Giants are way ahead of the curve. Even when the A's were playing money ball, you know, and they were playing well enough to even make it to the playoffs a couple of years. It's like, who's the A's player that you're going to root for? You don't even know who the hell they were.
You can't do it because 3 years later, gone.
Yeah.
There was a guy, a shortstop called Judy Babbitt. Remember Judy Babbitt?
Yep. Judy Babbitt. I remember him.
I love Judy Babbitt, right?
But I knew
after 3 years I knew where Judy Babbitt was going to go. It wasn't going to be with the A's.
Damn.
3 years came. The third year was his contract year. Guess what? Judy Babbitt was on his way to Minnesota. I said, hey, man, you can't keep doing that, man.
Shooty was shot. Yeah, the birthday shot his ass in Minnesota.
Beautiful sister too.
Uh-oh. How are you going to measure fan support when the fans don't even know who the hell the team is?
You can't do it. Mm-mm. All right, we're going to move on to Ms. Williams.
Yes.
This is a farewell song.
Yes, and it's going to be a hot ticket, no question.
You know, Mike, I have a real, real sense that this woman's going to win the U.S. Open.
I would love to see it.
Because after all the shenanigans the U.S. Open has done against her, they might make it right this year and try and get her to win this year.
Yeah, but even if they do that, she's going to be one short of Margaret Court. And
no,
that's
she'll
they
be
want.
Done.
No. They don't want her passing. That's just it.
No,
they don't want her to pass
it
court.
Died. Yeah.
And that's what the intent was from the first place. They wanted to make sure she did not surpass court. Now
they didn't even talk about Tiger Woods. They made sure Tiger Woods would never get back there again.
Oh, Tiger's a lost cause. I'm sorry. The light may come on for Tiger by the time he's 50. But he'll be way too late and the skills will be degraded by them.
But Serena, this lady, if it wasn't for Serena, we would not be seeing Miss Osaka for Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Coco Gra play a couple days ago. That girl is like a spinning image.
Okay. Oh,
Serena,
25
years ago.
Yep. But see, you don't have to be a spitting image. See, what I loved about what the Williams women did is that you don't have to be a spitting image of anyone.
Right.
All they did, they put the work in, their work ethic, their approach to the sport. That's what they're going to remember. I mean, Madison Keys is black. But she's not Serena, and she's never going to be. Sloane Stephens is black, but she's not going to be a Serena either. They are satisfied with being at a certain level.
Sloane Stephens, that woman frustrates me to no end.
No, she frustrates herself. Sloane Stephens does not want to be great. Now, what I'm saying is... because she doesn't want to be great. Sloane Stephens won a tournament a long time ago, and I think she cashed a $2 or $4 million check. And she was like, oh, cool, you know, and hooray for her. But she hasn't wanted to get better. Madison Keys may have won some lower-level tournaments, but I don't think skill-wise she can get better. That's what's different about Coco and Naomi. They can't. I mean, Naomi already knows that she can beat the best in the world whenever her mind is right. Coco knows, if she works hard enough, she can beat anybody.
Yeah.
And that was because of the work ethic that Serena instilled by her approach to the game. You know, she went hardcore and transformed herself, just like Martina Navratilova did when she was a chubby girl in the Czech Republic. You know, she got hard, and all of a sudden she started winning. So did Serena. So did Venus. And they just kept winning. Before, they were just winning on talent, but when they really started to focus, that's when Serena became the huntress. That's when Venus became the goddess. And that's when, as double players, they started destroying the competition.
Is there? I feel sorry for Naomi Osaka because he got a back injury is one of the worst injuries you can have because every movement is a bit on your back. And
that's true. Nothing easy to do on a bad back.
It doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing ages you like a bad back, but Naomi is still young, and I hope she just takes care of her body a little bit better so that when it's time to get down, she can get down. And I have a lot of respect for her talent. I love little sis that she seems to have a sense of self about her where she knows what's going on, and she doesn't live in a vacuum, so we want Naomi to do well. We want Coco to do well. We want all the sisters to do well. We just want them to recognize that Serena was the grand dame, and she was the standard. If the Americans can't get that in their head, that the best player in the world was a black American girl from Compton, that's too bad.
Well, I think that the ratings, all the years, the ratings, the Americans have always had one in the top 10. Well, the last 2 years, guess what? There hasn't been any American in the top 10. This bad month, the girl from Buffalo, Pagula, number 9.
Right.
I'm not really impressed with it because I don't think he has the fire to
continue
this.
Well, she's a little rich girl. I mean, isn't that the Buffalo Bills and Sabres owner's kid?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think she's got the hunger. You can't be that hungry when you already got money. You know, she may have just did it as an afterthought. And if she did, okay. So she gets a fake ranking or at least a bloated ranking to try to encourage her to play harder. You know, Serena didn't need help. She didn't need a bloated rating. As a matter of fact, every time they played the number one in doubles, she and her sister would whoop their ass. And then they'd say, well, you don't have enough matches. We can't rate you. So don't take this ass with them personally. But that's what they did. So it's up to everybody else. Serena left them the standard, not Nick Bollettieri or some Eastern European wannabe. Serena and Venus are the standards. And when they leave, they can get on with their lives. You know, they're not cooked up wannabes like Jennifer Capriati or over-the-hill folks who are trying to live off their reputation like the McEnroes. They're great women. They're entrepreneurs. They're smart folks who can go on and live as normal a life as can possibly be lived by a celebrity. So, hooray for them. They earned it.
Did you see the video of Marshawn is being dragged out of his car by state troopers.
Yeah, I saw it.
My thing is this. Why couldn't they do this in a peaceful manner? See, that part of America, I understand. You have to drag the guy out of the car? What's wrong with you?
They knew exactly what they were doing. They wanted to make this about a moment. You know, Eddie Griffin, the comedian, really smart brother. You know, he said it a long time ago, nobody gets away clean. And it's true. You can be a bit of a maverick if you want. You can float your own boat, but at some point, something's going to catch up to you. And with Marshawn Lynch, who was a bit of an iconoclast because of how he took his approach to playing football and how he was a media celeb because of how he took his approach to football, now he's going to be made a pariah because of what the police did. You have to always be on point. This is what the old heads were trying to tell these old young punks 20 years, 40 years, 60 years ago.
This is what Bill Russell was saying.
Yeah, it's not what you do. It's how you do it. And ironically, since you mentioned Bill Russell, now number 6 is going to be retired throughout the league.
Now I'm going to push even harder to get 21 retired in baseball. I'm going to push even harder because if you can retire number 6, you can retire number 21 for baseball.
Oh, I agree. Baseball should have did it a long time ago, though. See, that's the mistake they make in not seizing the moment. Roberto Clemente was a great player. And he was a great humanitarian, and everybody knew about it. And when they had the chance to jump on it, they did not. Now, they did Jackie Robinson. Yeah, okay, so hooray for you. But 21 has just as much meaning for a lot of Latinos everywhere.
You know, in Puerto Rico, and most of the Latin countries, you cannot wear 21.
I can imagine. Roberto is probably their Bolivar, somebody who was so well recognized and honored for what he did, that out of respect they wouldn't. I remember Ruben Sierra when he was at the Texas Rangers. He went out of his way to say that he wanted to wear 21 for Roberto. And like Roberto, he was a dark-skinned Puerto Rican. You know, he was not light, bright. And Roberto was blue-black and was very proud of that. I know Henry Louis Gates, the
writer, broadcaster, right?
Yes, has done episodes of being in Latin America and showing the black people, black Mexicans, black Dominicans, you know, Haitians, everywhere along the Caribbean and South America, and showing the black side of them. And a lot of folks were like, "What?" But
yeah,
you got to tell the truth. It is what it is. Why should you feel shame in that? You know, but some do, some more than others. But hey, black is black, and you can't change that.
Right. We got Fernando Tatis. Will miss 80 games of testing positive for PED, being very called
PEDs.
So I don't understand how you cannot know what you're taking. I just and you have a team in San Diego. A good challenge. Good challenge. The LA Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't think San Diego can catch them. I really don't.
Yeah. Well, Tati is very talented, and San Diego loaded up right before the trade deadline. They won the Soto sweepstakes, and with the lineup they have from 2 to 7, you would think they would, like, mash everybody. I mean, they got some stats. They got some stat monsters in their lineup. But you still got to play the games. And now with Tatis gone, you know, I think they'll still come to the park. I think
they'll be the playoffs.
I think
if Dundee's got, they could challenge the Dodgers. See, now the Dodgers, they can play 500 ball the rest of the year. It won't matter.
I agree. But still, San Diego dropped the ball and missed an opportunity to claim something that was theirs and make it great. Now, I know you've been a frustrated A's man for years, but when it came time to get the work done, the A's did it. The A's won games. The A's won titles. You know, San Diego hasn't won anything yet. And the Padres are the only game in town that they have one World Series appearance way back in the day.
Way back in the day, yep.
But they don't have anything else. And
you know what, Michael? I can't remember that World Series.
Yeah, I think did they play Cleveland?
I think so.
I put a hex on Cleveland. Because those fucks wouldn't change that stupid logo. Somebody put hex on my ass. But yes, San Diego has not claimed anything under their own, how can you say, under their own window of opportunity. There's no more charges. There's no more rockets. There's no more conquistadors. You know, there's nothing. The Padres of San Diego, they're nowhere else. They're nothing else. And now they have their opportunity to make their own statement about who they are and where they live.
And well, it's like the Dodgers, Angels, big brothers to them, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's why, for years and years and years, San Diego is standing in the shadow of the Dodgers.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. It's been that way for years.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking forward to San Diego making a run, and now I was like, well, whatever. Okay, one last thing before we get out of here.
All right.
Vanessa Bryant is going to court. Vanessa Bryant is suing the L.A. Deputy Department.
Yeah.
For releasing the pictures of the crash 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
These deputies thought it was funny. They can disseminate all these photos.
Right.
Of these dead body parts of Brian and the people in the helicopter.
Yeah.
Now, what mentality do you have? This is why I'm in America. You are gonna stand there with your bright, intelligent mind.
Yeah.
And take photographs of the scene. And it should be for legal means. Okay, mm-hmm. I get that.
Yeah.
But to sit there and ex people these photographs.
Yep.
What is wrong with you?
No, it's nothing wrong. You got a bunch of ghoulish folks out there. This. Where they have markets and stuff like that. You've seen papers like The Inquirer and News of the World. They show shit like this and folks get off on it. You know, sadly enough, I feel for Vanessa Bryant having to even have to do this work. You would think it would have been tragic enough to know that someone's husband was dead in a cruel manner and their child, but to the people who want to make money off of this stuff, they don't care, you know. And that's another aspect of not leaving this world clean. They want to find some way, somehow. You know, it's like when somebody in someone's family dies and they may go through their house and start picking shit, you know, start taking stuff out. You know, it may seem like it's innocent. It may seem like it's like, well, I ordinarily wouldn't do this, but it's like, well, they won't be needing it where they're going, you know, so let me just take this. There's something, I don't know, kind of makes my skin crawl about that sort of thing.
Well, I know because it happened to my family. With my mom passed away.
Uh-huh.
I could not be in New Jersey. Them people have fun right there. I still don't know where stuff is.
I can imagine.
I have no idea where stuff is, right?
Mm. Yep.
And
I can imagine.
I agree with that. So, what you got cooking for my life, bro?
Well, cooking tonight, or rather tomorrow night, the Big Bag Tournament continues. We're going to have appearances by the Ohio Players and Confunction. Now, Confunction was a surprise in last year's tournament. You know, I really hadn't heard much of their music, but I was pleasantly surprised, and they really gave some good stuff. The Ohio Players, we know about the Players, mighty group. The Players are known for being a great group in terms of when they do work, everybody shares in it. There are some bands like when you see Heatwave, you know that the Wilders are singing, that marks what they do. But the Ohio Players, they seduce as a group. You can hear Sugar from going, ow. And in between, ow, everybody's just doing their little thing all in between.
Ow.
And the nuances,
ow.
And the nuances are so amazing. It makes for a beautiful sound. But they have a very strong opponent who's coming in as a wild card. So I think it should be an exciting evening tomorrow night. Everybody, now the heat wave seems to be slacking up. Everybody kick back, grab something cool to drink, and relax and listen to some beautiful music. Tomorrow night at 9, Log Talk Radio, we will be there. We hope to see you there. So all the Soul Patrollers, Cold Caravan, have a great weekend.
Michael, I got a surprise for you. I'm gonna email you later on.
Uh-oh.
And I hope that you I found something in the archives.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, okay, this is what I've been looking for. I finally got it. So it'll be coming your way.
All right, I will check it out.
All right.
Sounds good.
Movie scene.
twice. Yankee the Mets. I'm looking at a Yankee Met World Series. That's why I want to see a rematch of the 2001 World Series. I want to see a rematch. The New York Mets against the New York Yankees. The evil empire against the amazing Mets. Continue on. Speaking of baseball, the weekend game of the week is Milwaukee versus St. Louis, Yankees at Boston, and the Mets and the Phillies. That's the three games of the week today. NFL, we already did that. NHL, the Boston Bruins signing one-year contract. The Bergeron and Greening. Kings will be out of Vazzaretti will be out for 6 months. And Vegas Goldie and Matt Liner will be out for a year for surgery. LPGA last week is the AIG was Bridge Open. South Africa Ashley Buha beat South Korean Inji Chung and Japanese Anago Sabono in the playoffs. This weekend in Ireland, the ISBS Honor World Invitational, the Korean Seoul Sisters did not come their passing on this tournament. PGA last week is the Wyndham Classic Championship in Greensboro, North Carolina, and the Cosu Open in Newport, Wales. South Korean Jiyoung Kim wins the Wyndham. This week we already discussed it. St. Jude's Best Classic. Siwoo Kim is in third place. And J.J. Spahn is the leader. Also in the Bowling Classic in Washington State. And the Pinnacle Bank Championship in Nebraska this weekend. WTA. Last week they played in New York City for the New York Classic Open. San Jose Classic, which Coco Graf did very well. Coco Graf has a very busy weekend this weekend as he plays in Canada National Bank Open. He's in the quarterfinals and he's also in the doubles quarterfinals. She has a full weekend ahead of her. Mazziki did her best quarterfinals in Canada. Nick Kyrgios with second straight city championship in Washington, beating Yoshito Nishioka. NASCAR last weekend. It was the Michigan International Speedway for the 5-Cuban 200. Ken Harvick is the winner. This weekend is Richmond, Virginia for the Federated Auto Parts 400. Next weekend they race the Watkins Glen. For the Watkins Glen Go Bowling 200. IndyCar last week in Travel, Tennessee for the Big Machine Music City Classic. Scott Dixon is a winner. This weekend they're off, and next weekend they're in Bahrain Mundo of a bill for 500 next weekend. As I said earlier, 2 weekends ago, for the 101 Game Back, the Belgium Grand Prix, Belgium Grand Prix in 2 weeks. As the Game of Golf begins in summer vacation, I will see you in 2 weeks. I hope you guys enjoy the 2 weeks. I will be back September the 4th. As I think our annual August vacation, summertime, before we get to the autumn grind. So take care of yourself for 2 weeks. Drink plenty of water. Stay safe. Get the vaccine. Wash your hands. Stay safe. As we go, we'll be back in September. The music box will be on Sundays as we begin the Big Bang Tournament. So every Sunday at 4 o'clock, 7 in the East, the Big Bang Tournament will continue. As our music box classic